You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
To the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, the 15th of January, 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Yes, it's the end of another exciting week, and you know what that means? It means we have with us Grandpa Dan. Grandpa, good day, sir. How are you doing? How is Texas doing?
Yeah, all right. We actually had snow. Was it early in the week? It was snowy. We actually got like 6-8 inches of snow in a lot of the state. So it was a nice change of pace. And speaking of change of pace, so we're looking here at a great story today. I was thinking about used to watch these old Warner Brothers cartoons, you know, back in the day. And it would reference some celebrity from like the 40s or so. I don't remember who it was. And had this line, everybody wants to get in the act. Well, now we're seeing that everybody's getting into the act because now where there were just a few nationalists several years ago who were condemned as right-wing extremists, now everybody's getting into the act and becoming a right-wing extremist.
Literally everyone, isn't it? It's half the American population has now been designated as domestic terrorists. The whole MAGA movement has been deplatformed. It's really just a powder keg that's just waiting to go off. And what I wanted to do today is really have a look at what some of these people are actually like, because they're being called all the names under the sun, of course. I mean, this particular article that we have here today, it calls the protesters at the Capitol Holocaust deniers, white supremacists and conspiracy theorists. And yet we know that the people that were going there were patriots. We know that the people that were going there were the people that voted for the Republican Party. They're effectively Republican Party supporters that are being called all these names by the Republican Party itself, which is bizarre. And bizarrely enough, I mean, a lot of the people there were actually part of the Republican Party apparatus. At least 6 Republican state legislators took part in events surrounding the storming of the U.S. Capitol. West Virginia delegate Derek Evans posted a video of himself entering the building, but later deleted it, the New York Times reported. So they're calling this the storming of the US Capitol, and really it's more akin to the Occupy movement. When this happened, and I was thinking, well, what is this? What is this that's going on here? And I thought, well, they're trying to occupy the Capitol, and they may give some demands. That's what they need to do. They need to occupy the Capitol. They need to secure it. And then they need to make demands, and the demand needs to be there needs to be a forensic audit of the election. The allegations of fraud need to be investigated. Once we get your word on that, we will go. And I thought that is what was actually going on there. I naively thought that there wasn't actually, it couldn't be any security in there if they actually got in there. But of course, they did get in there. There was lots of security in there. One of the protesters unfortunately got shot. But I don't think you can really call it the storming of the US Capitol. I guess when you look at the video that shows people putting the bike racks up against the wall and then climbing up the wall, I mean, that looked, that looks quite incredible, to be honest. Very, very exciting. But I mean, when you say somewhere was stormed, you really imagine people being armed and being particularly violent. And Washington, D.C., you're not allowed to carry weapons there. So nobody there was actually armed. The only people that were armed were the police. Have you heard of West Virginia delegate Derek Evans, Grandpa, or have you got any thoughts on this introduction to the article here?
Well, the lower down the ladder you get in party hierarchy, the more like the people they are. So when you look at, like, say, senators or even congresspeople, you know, they live in the bubble. They're in the Washington, D.C. bubble, and their world revolves. They're completely detached from the reality that the regular people live in. But when you go down to, like, state legislatures. Well, those people are closer to home and they're more in contact with, you know, with how things are with the regular people. So they're going to act and behave and relate more to how regular people act and behave. And then when you get down to the local level, I mean, those people are, you know, have some authority in the very communities they live in. So, of course, their views will generally reflect more of those around them. So I don't really find it surprising that you had some of these state lawmakers participating in this protest. It is kind of weird. This whole happening. I mean, you know, we have the videos, you know, they basically opened the door and let a lot of these people just walk in there, and you know, created this like photo op, and then what was the point of it? Then they just left. You know, I mean, he had Trump telling everybody to march down to the Capitol, but he didn't say and do what. I mean, he bears a little responsibility for this, good, bad, or in between. And he didn't say we're going to march down to the Capitol. I guess we meant all of y'all, because he didn't join in, but he didn't add a do what. If he would have said march down the Capitol, don't go inside, but yell out and make your voices heard. Well, he could have been very specific about that. I mean, like you said, I mean, if they would have marched into the Capitol and said, oh, we're not leaving until we have an investigation, there would have been some sort of point to it. But instead, we had all these people rush in there, take selfies. I think Nancy Pelosi had a mirror broken. The devastating, you know, we've covered this before. No graffiti, nothing set on fire, no looting. She did have a mirror broken, and somebody walked around, took a selfie with her podium. And we're being told that this is the greatest domestic terrorist thing. I mean, the U.S. media here is just insane with the words they've chosen to use with this: domestic terrorism, violent mob, all the things that people were muttering to themselves over the summer while they watched the BLM stuff, is now being blared from the rooftops by the media. And as you said, we've got essentially now half the country is being declared to be domestic terrorists. And somehow we're supposed to believe this is all going to end well.
Yes, there was no violence there. There was no fires lit. They were even filing in single file among the walkways. I think the plan was, and I think this was implied by Donald Trump when he said to march there and make your voices heard. I think what he meant was march there, make a lot of noise so that the people inside know the strength of feeling that there is about this, so that they know the numbers that there are out here, so that they know that they should have a proper debate on the evidence, because that's supposed to be what was happening. And I think when the people got there, the police just then let them in. So they went in without really any idea of what they were going to do. They didn't have a ringleader. There was nobody that was in charge. If they had have done, then they would have said, well, let's all sit down and basically refuse to leave until they say they're going to look at the evidence. But what happened was one of these security guards shot and killed this innocent, peaceful protester, Ashley Babbitt. And I think once that happened, everybody left. That's how it appeared to be to me. The minute there was violence shown on the side of the police or the security apparatus towards the peaceful protesters, that's when everybody left. And then we had Biden talking about a siege much later on, talking about a siege, calling on Donald Trump to order his protesters out of there. This was after Donald Trump had already made an entirely peaceful, very articulate, very well-made video calling for people to leave peacefully, trying not to agitate the situation. And Twitter removed that and said that it was an incitement to violence. YouTube removed it as well. The mainstream media channels didn't show this. What they did show was this Biden message demanding that Donald Trump call his followers out of there. And it seemed to me as if Biden had this speech prepared, that they knew this was going to happen. They knew that the police were going to let the protesters in. And he'd been hoping that it was going to go on for much longer, and that there would be a proper riot and the place would be set fire to. But of course, that didn't happen, because you had patriots that were going in there. They were going in there chanting USA, USA, USA. And they're being called domestic terrorists. And it's quite obvious that they were patriots. Tennessee state lawmaker Terry Lynn Weaver told the Tennessean that she was in the thick of it during the rally before the storming of the Capitol. She said there was just a whole heck of a lot of patriots here. She later tweeted a picture of the quote-unquote mob at the base of the Capitol, saying, "Epic and historic day gathering with fellow patriots from all over the nation, D.C. So this just tells us the sort of people that they were there. They were patriots. That's the sort of people that they were there. Then they were not domestic terrorists. There were people waving the American flag. There was somebody that had the Confederate flag. I'm sure he's going to get particularly gone for taking the Confederate flag in there. But that is still an American flag. These people were peaceful protesters. They were there on the side of the established government. This is the most important thing. They were there supporting the established government, the government that is headed by Donald Trump. This new theoretical government that Joe Biden has been picking for when he becomes president, because he is supposed to become president, that is not the established government. That is a theoretical government. And yet he is behaving as if he is the established government, the deep state. The people that aren't actually in power yet, they are the established government. That is the insurrection here, not what Donald Trump did. What do you make of what this Tennessee state lawmaker Terry Lynn Weaver had to say here? And what do you make of the fact that it was all patriots there, Grandpa?
Well, you know, we continue to see this trend where the media is just trying to create an alternate reality where what they say is the truth, regardless of what your eyes see or what people on the ground say. Case in point, the media continues to call this a deadly attack on the Capitol. But you know, the deadly part of it, you know, the only person outright killed by violence was Ashley Babbitt, who was gunned down in cold blood, unarmed. But she was white, so I guess who cares? She was the only one that was openly murdered. I think three other people, they haven't told us how the three other people died. Apparently they might have fallen off the scaffolding, think some had a heart attack or whatever. You know, I mean, well, it's pretty safe to say those people, you know, were probably a ticking time bomb of something going on. Then we had this officer that was hit in the head with the fire extinguisher, but I mean, he didn't die right there. He went back to the police station and then fell over and died, but we haven't been told specifically what from. I mean, we've been told he was hit in the head with a fire extinguisher, but apparently he was fine at the time because he went back to the police station. He didn't go to the hospital. They didn't rush EMTs in there. So he may have, too, had a heart attack or some other condition. Of course, we're not going to be told that. And then finally, a second officer killed themselves several days later, and that got lumped in to all of this murderous, you know, deadly attack on the Capitol. But they've just completely erased Ashley Babbitt from the scene. But the reality is, yes, yeah, so you have people on the ground, people that are saying, well, these are just patriots. You know, they're making their voices heard. But the media continues to this program where they act as though they can create an alternative reality with what they say, regardless. They saw the same thing with the election thing. We had video after video after video of, you know, ballots being snuck through the back door in the middle of the night. And the media says there's no proof for election fraud. We had, you know, I mean, we've gone over it time and time again. You know, you had the poll watchers thrown out and then boards put up on the window. So they couldn't look in through the window from the outside and see what they were doing. And the media says, no election fraud. There's no proof of election fraud. Now, the same media is going around saying we need this big investigation because there was probably a conspiracy to happen. But you say, well, the same media that says, well, we can't investigate the election fraud because there's no evidence. Now, with no evidence, is saying there was this huge conspiracy. This was so well organized. They planned to go in there and they planned to kill and lynch Congress people or something. No evidence of that. How can you have an investigation if there's no evidence? That was their very thing. It's kind of like the whole lunacy that for 4 years we've been hearing that the Russians hacked them, meddled in and hacked and changed the outcome of the election in 2016. Now the very same media is saying that meddling in the election and election fraud is literally just impossible in this country. It's all insane because they're trying to create an alternative reality. What they say is the truth. What you see with your own eyes, what you believe, what other people tell you, that's not real. What's only thing that is real is what they tell you. So shut up, listen to what they say. Oh, and if you won't shut up, they'll ban you off of every social media platform. That is, if you're lucky enough not to be deemed a domestic terrorist and get probably arrested. And that's what we're seeing through all of this, Finn. We're seeing people now, all these Trump supporters, they went there, they marched. There was no graffiti, no violence. Nobody attacked anybody as far, you know. I mean, yes, there were skirmishes. I mean, obviously, there were some police that tried to push the people back and there were skirmishes. But I mean, compared to, there was no looting, there was no burning. You know, there were no physical attacks as far as like what we saw over the past summer. But now you've got all these people and they were at a protest. They were walking around with their flags chanting USA. And now they're having their faces and names splashed all over the media as domestic terrorists. I'm sorry. And now a whole bunch of these people are going to come up to speed with what nationalists have been dealing with for years now. And now they're going to get to come up to speed and realize that, just as was warned by many of us, now the same brush is being used to paint them.
Yeah, the eyewitnesses, every one of the eyewitnesses says that it was patriots. It's all people that weren't there that are calling them domestic terrorists and saying that this is an insurrection. And you really have to go to the eyewitnesses that were there. And these are state lawmakers that are saying this, not the mainstream media that wasn't there, but the people that were there that actually have some standing that are saying that this was patriots. Virginia State Senator Amanda Chase denied that any violence had taken place, despite the overwhelming evidence, the article says, and later accused the police of murder after the shooting of a California woman inside the Capitol. A veteran who was brutally murdered by Capitol Police today, Chase wrote on Facebook, according to the Henrico Citizen. These were not rioters and looters. These were patriots who love their country and do not want to see our great republic turn into a socialist country. I was there with the people. I know. Don't believe the fake media narrative, she wrote. That's a Virginia State Senator that is actually saying that. What we have here is we have the eyewitnesses telling us a completely different story to what the mainstream media is. The mainstream media is inciting violence and hatred against these people that went there, which is against the law. It's against the law in America to incite violence against anyone. And that's specifically what the mainstream media is doing. These people that went there, they're losing their jobs. They're losing their bank accounts. They're being accused of being domestic terrorists. They're losing their friends. It's absolutely scandalous what is going on here. So this is why it's so important that there are actually people that are in the establishment that are speaking up for these people, that are reminding people that they were the people that were there to protest the stealing of this election. People like the Virginia State Senator Amanda Chase. What are your thoughts on what she has to say here, Grandpa, about there was no violence?
Well, I think you bring up a really good point when you point out how the mainstream media is inciting violence themselves, especially when you consider this, you know, the way we have to here at the network, and you know, we have to always be very careful how we parse our words so that something can't be taken out of context and be accused of inciting violence. And now you have the media out here just openly demonizing people, making things up. You know, they always hate the false, the fake news label when they, you know, openly partake in, well, literally fake news. But they're inciting violence against, you know, normal Americans who don't like what is being done to their country, don't like the fact that this big election fraud isn't amazing. I mean, they keep saying no evidence. These people just won't accept that Joe Biden won legitimately. Well, why don't you just address their concerns? You have all of these people that are angry. All through this whole thing, through this whole narrative about this attack on the Capitol, the one thing they won't address for obvious reasons is, okay, so you had over 1 million people show up to this protest. You know, maybe all of these people have some legitimate issues that should be, you know, addressed. You know, shouldn't you try to calm that down and say, if you really think there wasn't fraud, you know, say, okay, look, instead of just shutting you down and banning you and demonizing you, okay, let's go through here. Like you said, why doesn't Biden want an actual, you know, audit of the vote if he really thinks he won? That way he'll have a legitimate presidency. They just don't care. It's just about cramming it down your throat, and you'll take it, or you'll shut up, or we'll demonize you. We'll call you a domestic terrorist, and you'll lose your job at best or get locked up at worst. Just their reaction to this whole thing is really more telling about their motives than anything, you know, anything they actually say.
And they've got no interest in actually governing legitimately and saying, look, we have a mandate. We won. We won by a legal majority, by lawful votes. They've got no interest in that. They're just going to say, right, we're just going to silence you. We're just going to use force to silence everybody that points to the evidence that shows otherwise. Anybody that actually brings up any evidence that shows that this election, that there was any fraud involved in this election at all, is just outright removed now from YouTube, Twitter. I mean, we're one of the few outlets left that can still actually discuss this. You know, I doubt whether they will even be able to discuss this on DLive soon. They certainly can't discuss it on YouTube. Imagine that. We're supposed to live in a free country, and there are certain subjects that we're just told you cannot discuss in public, one of them being the election, of all things. Missouri State Representative Justin Hill skipped his swearing-in ceremony to be in D.C. He marched to the capital but didn't enter. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch reported him as saying, Pennsylvania State Senator Doug Mastriano made sure that a busload of people could be in D.C. He said in a video that he did not participate in the clashes with police, and Michigan State Representative Matt Maddock was also at the scene, according to The Hill. So what do we have here? We have a Pennsylvania State Senator that is actually driving people to this protest. This was a legitimate protest. It was the president that was actually speaking at this protest, and we now have the whole-scale demonization of everybody that went to this protest. As you were pointing out there, Grandpa, it was at least a million people. Ashley Babbitt estimated it at 3 to 4 million people, and it certainly weren't 3 to 4 million people that made their way into the Capitol. It was maybe a few thousand that actually made their way into the Capitol. And yet everybody that is there is now being tarred under the same brush. They're all being called domestic terrorists. I mean, this is one real surefire way to radicalize the MAGA movement and the supporters of Donald Trump against this incoming Biden administration. They just seem to be deliberately stirring up as much trouble as possible, which is what we have come to expect from the mainstream media. There is nobody that incites violence so much as the mainstream media. As you pointed out there, Grandpa, we're very careful with the words that we actually use, and they just seem to be cavalier all the time. So long as it's white people, of course, that they're inciting violence against, because that is the one people in the world that you are allowed to incite violence against.
Well, and the thing is, Sven, I mean, you know, you talk about how, you know, we're careful with how it, and to be honest, it's been a learning process. We've had years to figure this out. Now you've got all these, you know, MAGA people and such. They're getting the crash course, and it's kind of, I don't know. I think it falls to the nationalist community to try to kind of bring these people up speed. And it's a kind of, it's a good illustration of the biblical principle of turning the other cheek and what that means. In other words, it can be tempting in the nationalist community when we've been dealing with this treatment for years now, and these people didn't care, to sit there and say, well, you get what you deserve. I mean, you didn't care when this was happening to us, so good. We're glad this is happening to you. Now piss off. It can be very tempting to say that. And it would be truthful. You would not necessarily be unjustified in taking that point of view. But, you know, here's your opportunity to turn the other cheek and say, well, that may be true, but here's the reality. These people are now more or less, whether they like it or not, they've been dragged kicking and screaming perhaps, but they're now in the same boat as we are. And so, you know, you turn the other cheek and saying, okay, well, now you understand something about what we've been saying. Here's how you need to react to that. Because when you get these people, you know, like I said, we kind of had years of dealing with this, so we know how to internalize it. We know how to react properly to it. But it was, you know, realistically, it was a learning experience for us. These people are getting the crash course. And what happens is, when these people get the crash course, they don't understand how to internalize. They don't understand how to process it. And you're going to have some of them that are going to, you know, do things that are going to be suboptimal in outcome. Which is a nice way of saying they don't understand what to do, so they lash out violently. And, you know, it's kind of, I think, falls upon us to kind of, you know, explain to these people, okay, look, you know, calm down. This is nothing new. We've been dealing with this for years. You know, this is kind of there. Here's how you deal with it. Here's how you react to it. Yes, you'd be justified saying, you know, well, y'all didn't care when it happened to us, so why do I care when it happens to you? Because, like I say, well, that's the truth. But you just go ahead and say, well, okay, let's put that behind us and help these people to get up to speed so they understand where we're at now. Because right now, They are radicalizing people left and right. And by they, I do mean the media and the government themselves. They're radicalizing these people. When you shut people up, you don't even allow them to complain about things. You don't even allow them to vent. That radicalizes people. Allowing people to come on the internet and say words that you disagree with, that lets the steam off. That lets people, you know, at least feel like they're being heard. Even if they're only being heard by other people that believe the same thing, they still feel as though they're being heard. When you shut that down, when you shut that up, when you just clamp down saying, no, you're not even allowed to point out these things. You're not even allowed to complain about what's being done to your country, what's being done to you, what's being done to your communities. You're not even allowed to point it out. In fact, we're going to call you a liar to your face, even if you have video of it. This is what radicalizes people. If there's a push to violence, and I really mean this, if there's anybody pushing for violence, it is the media, it is the government, and the way they are handling this and the way they're treating people. They're not even allowing them. You sit there and have people point out, hey, there's videos of them pulling ballots out from under the table. Here's cars unloading ballots in the middle of the night. And you're told that doesn't matter. Shut the hell up. You're a liar. What we say is the truth. This is what that happening. It's their reaction to it. The more you shut people up, the more you shut people down, the more you ban people, the more inevitable you make it that there's going to be violent outbursts from this. I'm sure there's going to be because of the actions they are taking. The more they clamp down, the more they shut people down, the more they demonize people, the more of this reaction they're going to get. That leads to the question, then, is this just foolishness on their part, or are they actually wanting a violent reaction from it?
Well, I'm sure that there are agent provocateurs in chat rooms trying to encourage violent reaction. And of course, our work is cut out for us trying to calm things down and prevent that sort of thing from happening. 4 rioters, it says here, died and 56 officers were injured in the ensuing chaos. And of course, as we pointed out, there were health emergencies that these protesters actually died from. And if you had 4 million people there, I guess 56 officers injured, that really isn't that many. One officer remains in hospital after being beaten and tased by the mob, it says here. And obviously we don't have more details on that. We hope that he is well and he comes around and that isn't actually what happened to him. Charges include inciting a riot and weapons violations. Rioters scaled the Capitol building, defaced statues, committed countless acts of violence, and fought with police. The suspects include Holocaust deniers, white supremacists, and conspiracy theorists. I mean, that's just incredible, isn't it? Normally, when you read an article like this, it will say, you know, the suspects include robbers, or the suspects includes rapists, or it'll bring up some crime that they have done. It won't just come out with a load of insults. The suspects include a string of insults, Holocaust deniers, white supremacists, and conspiracy theorists. And where do they get this defaced statues from? From what I could see, as I pointed out earlier, people were filing along single file within the rope walkways. They weren't even getting anywhere close to the paintings that there were there. I certainly didn't see any defaced statues. Perhaps a statue may have become damaged during a scuffle, but there was nobody there that would have been the type to deface statues. That is the sort of thing that we saw in the summer with the actual rioting that took place with Black Lives Matter. What do you make of their accusations here, Grandpa?
Isn't it funny? All of a sudden now the media is concerned about the well-being of statues. It just never ceases to amaze me. You know, like you said, we went all summer. They're tearing down statues left and right all over the world, not just in America. And the media was perfectly fine with it and encouraging it, inciting it even with their encouragement of it. Now all of a sudden the media is oh so concerned about some statues might have been defaced. Yes, we have this whole string of insults. I mean, what could be worse than a Holocaust denier? What could be worse than anybody who questions a historical event? I get back to what do words mean? You know, because they throw these terms out here. They're just supposed to have an emotional reaction. But I mean, if you really get past that and say, okay, well, what do the words mean? Well, the very first thing they sling out there is, and obviously all of these terms are supposed to have a negative connotation to them. You know, the very first thing is anybody who questions a historical event. You know, I mean, that's all a Holocaust denier is somebody who questions the veracity of a historical event. But how is that so awful? So how dare anybody question a historical event? White supremacist, that's a term that has zero meaning at all. I've yet to find anybody that can actually ever define that term. And yet it is bantied about. As you said, Sven, it's nothing more than an insult because it has no definition. I don't know what it means. But we see this thrown about time and time again. Nobody knows what it means, but it just means you're a really bad person. And finally, conspiracy theorists. This is a really good one because, you know, as far as an overall track record, I would wager that the conspiracy theorists over the years have a better track record of being correct than the media or the government. How many times have we seen conspiracy theories from decades ago? As time goes by, turns out they were right. Turns out at the time they were being, you know, mocked and told they were lunatics. But as time goes on, you find out more and more that, you know, they were correct. So I would say the conspiracy theorists, by and large, have a better track record of telling the truth than the government or the media themselves. And once again, though, this is a dismissive term. If you question the narrative in any way, shape, or form, you are a conspiracy theorist. This is fueled by the fact that they do, you know, you mentioned agent provocateurs. And what people need to realize is that doesn't just happen in, you know, in real life. Say at a protest, you're going to have a certain amount of people in the crowd that are, you know, their job. They literally have a job there of provoking some sort of reaction, either for photo op or to create a narrative. You are. That's just unavoidable. It happens continuously. But you also have agent provocateurs online. And so you get people, what happens is you get people pointing out realistic things such as the election fraud. These are dismissed as conspiracy theories. Well, how are, you know, part of the way they go about that is they mix agent provocateurs in with that to come up with these loony, insane, far out there conspiracies that, you know, it's just absurd on their face. But they mix that in, and that way, you know, they can present that to people, and you don't look at the realistic things, and don't bother with the videos of them unloading cars in the middle, you know, unloading ballots from the trunk of a car in the middle of the night, because you can lump that in over here with people with this off the wall lunatic conspiracy because it's all in the same group. So that's what you see. But no, by and large, the conspiracy theorists have a better track record than the media and the government as far as telling people the truth.
What are those? Well, I mean, what do they mean by conspiracy theorists? Are they saying conspiracies don't exist? Conspiracy is a criminal charge. Well, we've looked at all these state lawmakers that were there, but there are actually two off-duty police officers as well from Virginia. And they were charged for allegedly participating in the quote-unquote riots. Jacob Fracker and Thomas Robertson were arrested on Wednesday in Virginia after they were identified in a photo making an obscene statement in front of a statue of John Stark inside the Capitol building. Prosecutors from the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Columbia said the two men are police officers with the Rocky Mountain Police Department, court documents show. Now, I am confused by this. How do you make an obscene statement in front of a statue in a photograph? I always thought a statement was something verbal, and this is a photograph, it's not a video. What could the obscene statement have been? I'm guessing that perhaps it was the OK sign, since that has now been designated as a hate gesture, in which case they could say it was maybe an obscene gesture. But obviously that is not classed as an obscene gesture, is it? It's just the OK sign. So I'm guessing what that was. I mean, I'm mystified by this. Grandpa, what do you think the obscene statement was that they made in front of a statue? And why do they point out it was a statue? I mean, are they saying a statue or a statute of John Stark? I mean, maybe it's just confused writing here at the Epoch Times. What do you make of this?
I don't know. I don't think there's even any editing anymore at these publications. I've seen articles that had such, you know, I don't consider myself some brilliant writer or something, but I see some of these articles and just the basic grammar is so bad that we were putting together sentences that made better, you know, that were more correct when I was in like the sixth grade. So yeah, I'm not even sure what to make of that. And the fact that they're not really being specific and telling us exactly what this entails. Yeah, I don't know. It's just another one of those cases of just trust us. These people are really, really bad. Another thing worth noting, though, I think here is the way they switch back and forth between demonizing the police and glorifying police. You know, when the police fit the narrative, it's great. Where, you know, oh, they're heroes, the heroes defending the Capitol. These are the same people that a few months ago were demanding the police are all bad, and they all need to be abolished and replaced with Antifa, I guess, or something. They never told us who the police were going to be replaced by when they were demanding the police be abolished. In this case here, you had the hero police defending the Capitol. But then in the next breath, these two police who were marching as part of the protest in their own time, by the way, their own free time, like they're not allowed to have political views of their own, I guess, when they're off duty. They're demons. They're evil, bad people. They're part of the, you know, lot that questions historical events and conspiracy theorists or something. And they just go back and forth because none of this stuff has any actual meaning to them. They're just trying to convey a feeling. They're just trying to, create a narrative. They're the bad people. Over here, those who obey and go along with the narrative are the good people. So if the police are promoting the narrative, they're the good guys. But if they're not promoting the narrative, they're the bad guys. And if demonizing them promotes the narrative, they're the bad guys. It goes back and forth. And this can all be confusing if you don't understand the bigger picture of what they're doing here.
It's bizarre, isn't it, that they're suddenly concerned about what somebody might have said in front of a statue that they have to report on it. Well, an investigation by the United States Capitol Police found social media posts allegedly authored by Robertson admitting to participating in the riots. Notice it has now become riots, plural. CNN and the left are just mad because we actually attacked the government. Who is the problem? And not some random small business, the post states, according to court documents. Well, again, surely this is a good thing. That's what they're saying. They're protesting the government. Obviously, they've worded it wrong by saying that they attacked the government. But we're being told all the time about people being attacked when all it was something somebody actually said in a tweet. So this word attack has morphed now into meaning other things besides actual physical violence here. And I find it encouraging to hear that the police are actually saying here, look, it's the government that is the problem and not some random small business. And I think what that is a dig at is also Black Lives Matter that destroyed loads of small businesses, and also the COVID regulations, which have also destroyed lots of small businesses. So it's good to see that the police are standing up for the little man here, I think. What are your views, Grandpa?
Well, these folks are getting the crash course. They're getting the crash course in twisting what you mean, what your words. I mean, we can read what the guy had posted here and we understand what he was trying to convey. Probably didn't try to, didn't do it in the best, manner possible, because he doesn't realize that basically everything he posted on Facebook is now can and will be used against him. There was a local, well, not local, but there was a guy from Texas, I should say, that was arrested. I think he lived up in the Dallas area. He was the guy that was seen on the House floor standing there holding the zip tie handcuffs while wearing camouflage. And the guy said, well, he saw those laying on the floor and he picked them up. And I think that's a very realistic stat. I think that's a believable statement. I mean, it makes sense that the security that was present that had just fled probably had zip tie handcuffs on them. And when they were fleeing, they probably dropped those. He probably really did pick them up on the floor. I mean, that's a realistic stat. I think that's a believable statement. But that guy now saw him just this morning. He's being plastered all over the local news, all over the television, as being arrested and he's being tried. He's going, having charges filed against him. And one of the things they highlighted in the local news story was this guy's, they're already trolling through his Facebook posts and they're putting up his, he's posted on Facebook. And it was just like, normie patriot posts. That's it. But what these people are going to find out is, is with this here, I mean, the guy's, you can read it and understand what he was trying to convey, but they will twist that to mean something completely different. These people are going to now understand that when they get a little carried away, and this is one of the dangers of echo chambers, you get in Facebook or on any kind of social media and you wind up, you're going to be in groups with like-minded people. And there gets to be this thing where you're trolling for likes, and you're posting stuff more edgy because you get more likes, and their patriot posting could get a little out of hand. And that can be twisted to mean that you were advocating going up here and killing, like the guy's use of the term attacking the government. Well, they weren't attacking the government. The government's still there. They weren't really trying to topple the government. They went in a building. Somebody walked around with Nancy Pelosi's podium. They didn't even take it. It's still there. They just walked around and got pictures taken with it. And she got a mirror broken. Well, that is hard to say they were attacking the government. But see, the use of his words now is going to be twisted. All these people now, they're going through, they're scouring through their social media posts and all these edgy posts they were doing, in their patriot communities where they were trying to sound more hardcore, more 1776 than the next guy. Now all of that's coming back to haunt them and they're all going to get bit by it. Again, this is things we've all dealt with. We've learned these things over a period of time, over the years. And now these folks are getting, they're getting the crash course in it. And they're finding out the hard way.
Yeah, this is when we really have to reach out to them and put the words love your neighbor into action when we come across these people and try to prevent them from doing any more damage to themselves by Fed posting. Well, Fracker has also been accused of authoring a separate social media post, which has since been deleted, alleging, "Not like I did anything illegal." Fracker also reportedly said he had been escorted in by the Capitol Police. And this isn't the first time that I've actually seen this sort of witness account where they're saying that the police actually let them in. I've seen one bit where there were three police out the front and there was a little barrier and a load of people suddenly came along and they just rocked the barrier from side to side and walked through and the police just moved out the way and let them in. And that was the advance guard. That's how these protesters were able to get into the Capitol. And I dare say after that, there was such a lot of people that the police probably were escorting people in and saying, and just moving out the way and saying, carefully go that way. That's the way it looked to me anyway, because the people were walking in on the inside of the rope barriers. They weren't even pushing the rope barriers over. They were just filing slowly in. These were peaceful protesters, and it was peaceful right up to the point where a window got smashed and this Ashley Babbitt tried to climb through and she got shot in the face. And we should really finish with Ashley Babbitt here, the Air Force veteran from San Diego who was shot and killed by police during the attempted occupation of the building on January 6, 2021. She was actually a high-level security official when she served in the United States Air Force. So she served her country, she fought overseas in dangerous situations, and when she tried to protest the alleged theft of the election and to call for a forensic audit of the votes, she was shot in the neck. This is the example of the sort of people that were there, not people that were there looking for violence, not domestic terrorists, but people that support the established government. Grandpa, what are your final thoughts here on everything that we've discussed today?
Isn't it amazing? Once again, here's a case where somebody in law enforcement or police gunned down an unarmed person, and the media is glorifying it. They don't care. They've at best erased the incident, and at worst, they've celebrated it. I saw an article of kind of going in a little deeper. I think it was on the Daily Mail at the beginning of the week, going into this woman's background and whatnot. It wasn't anything, you know, spectacular as far as the article itself. But when you went through the comments, when you go to the comments and you have all of these leftists posting in there celebrating, they're glad she was murdered. Let that sink in for a minute, because we'd endure this constant barrage of being called haters and being filled with the hatred. And it was utterly disgusting. All of these comments celebrating, they're glad she got shot. They're glad the cops murdered her. Once again, they make the switch from the police are the good guys, police are the bad guy, police are now back to the good guys. If the police shoot a suspect who's running around chasing him around the street with a knife, there's protests. The media demonize them immediately because they killed an unarmed guy that only had a knife. But this woman had no weapons. She was approaching a door, and I don't believe the shooter in this case even saw her. My understanding is he just basically blindly shot through the door and killed this woman. He gunned her down. We still don't know who he is. He hasn't been identified. He hasn't been plastered all over the media as has happened in other events over the summer. And it is now the police are heroes for gunning down for gunning her life. She went there, you know, to peacefully protest. She did peacefully protest. She was gunned down in cold blood by representatives, like it or not, representatives of the government. And these people, as law enforcement at the Capitol, are representative of the government as far as the use of force. And she was gunned down. And the media at best buries the story and at worst celebrates it.
When it's a white police officer and it guns down a violent black criminal that he's armed, we're told that the white police officer is a racist and Black Lives Matter will riot and set fire to things and loot. And when we quite clearly see a black hand holding a gun that shoots a white female Air Force veteran completely unarmed in the neck, then the press gets together and tries to demonize her. They've been saying all sorts of terrible things about her, how she wasn't very nice to her ex-boyfriend and she may have damaged his car or something ridiculous like that. And of course, covered up the fact that George Floyd had poked a pistol into a pregnant woman's belly and threatened to kill her baby during a home invasion, which was just one of a long string of crimes that he had been prosecuted for. We can really contrast the way that Ashley Babbitt is being treated with the way that George Floyd was treated in the summer, I think. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.